A lot
10
of
seconds
well,
until five. Go! Go!
Oh my goodness.
5 seconds is not very long. You'd think I'd know that by now. Hello, everyone. It's me, Molly. Welcome back to Make Me Smart Friday edition. Economics on tap-ish, as we are calling it today. We do have the live stream up and running. So for those of you watching on YouTube, thanks for tuning in. Hello. Love seeing all the drinks.
Thanks for coming. There we go.
Nell says she's just having water because she has to go make more masks later. Respect. You cannot sew with the beer in you. That is just a true story. I have tried.
Really? Oh, interesting.
Yeah, you could really get hurt. It's sewing is not as easy as it looks.
You can really get hurt. Ow! Stitch. Ow!
And for those of you who are wondering what the deal is with my shirt, it's my very cool Oakland Hella Kitty shirt.
Oh, nice.
I'm back up so you can see it.
Oh, nice.
Hella Kitty. Yep.
Get
the
it.
Oaklandish store. Get it.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyway.
Oh, there's a lawnmower in the background, but I got to tell you, I'm not closing the windows. So, this being Friday, it is usually pour moi, economics on tap, but I got things I got to do later on, so I'm having a Perrier. I'm having a Perrier.
Sewing. Just kidding.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm having.
That's right. I've got some sewing.
I'm having still the beer equivalent of a Perrier, which is a Coors Banquet beer.
That's exactly right.
It's
exactly
perfect. Right. It's absolutely perfect.
Exactly what
it's
it is.
So
same,
refreshing.
Same alcohol content, same general chewiness. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not at all impairing. It's like a kombucha, except, you know, not as classy.
Yes.
Love it.
Yes.
I mean, I feel like I deserve more for having to dive right into the news, but here we go.
Well, you know, it is what it is. Okay, you're taking a sip, I can see. So I am going to go first. And this one kind of broke late this afternoon from Fox News World Headquarters, and that's actually dead serious. James Murdoch, who is the son of Rupert Murdoch, he of the Fox News empire. James Murdoch wrote a letter to the board of directors of the Fox Corporation saying today, the News Corporation rather, saying today, I hereby tender my resignation as a member of the board of directors of News Corporation, the company, effective as of the date hereof. Paragraph two is the interesting one. My resignation is due to disagreements over certain editorial content published by the company's news outlets and certain other strategic decisions. Strategic decisions resignation's fine, but I just think it's so interesting that here's the scion of the, you know, Fox Empire saying, I'm not down with the content. It's crazy.
I can't. And I have been at a lot of events. I don't know why, but he, you know, where James Murdoch has spoken, where he's been on stage, where he has been interviewed. Not a lot, but like three or four, enough that I have seen this guy get grilled over and over and over about the content of Fox News. And I actually shouldn't even say Fox News, because they work hard and he has worked hard to distinguish news from entertainment. That has been sort of an ongoing Fox
That's been his
situation.
Thing.
Yeah. Is that they're like, some of these people are performers and entertainers and others are news reporters. And it is never not awkward. It is never not a big dance. And I do find this really interesting. But what I also find interesting is that he's not naming names. Like, the first comment after this tweet is actually kind of great. The guy says, this is a master class in certain strategic corporate communication, so that the author can now wait to observe, gauge, assess, and analyze certain responses to then frame his actual reasoning and craft the narrative however he wants. So good job, Chris Millis, because
It's exactly right. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. And wouldn't you love to know the conversations, right? And what's going on. And also, oh, by the way, the man's the son of the founder of the company. Do you think he could not exercise influence on the content? I don't know.
I know. But apparently not. Well, I think he maintained for a long time that he was on the news side.
Yeah.
And that the rest was Lachlan, who I think is the other brother.
Right.
But it's a big deal. It's a big deal in a week of kind of interestingly big deals, I think.
Yeah, and look for all that Fox News is doing in this election cycle, right? I mean, I think it's bigger than big, actually. I think it's quite huge.
Yeah, it's a huge statement.
I will be tuning into All Things Considered later to hear David Folkenflik, who wrote a book on the Fox News empire. So, there's a plug for the competition.
Yeah, I'm just going to watch that show Succession on HBO.
Is that good?
Pretend it's like the real life. It's so good.
Oh.
Oh, man. I'm so jealous of you. I wish I could be you right now, because you get to just like start it. You're just jumping right in.
Yeah, I could actually. I could. That's a good point.
Oh, it's good.
So sorry, just flipped over to the Slack, and Erica brings up a very good point. Erica, who I believe used to work at the Wall Street Journal, says, is it a Fox News problem or is it the Wall Street Journal stuff? Because the Wall Street Journal, as you know, has been having a really huge divide between the newsroom, the straight-up journalists, and then the opinion pages, which are challenged factually and theoretically. So it's really interesting. That's actually fascinating.
Yeah. That is a really good point. It is easy to forget that News Corp is huge. It has newspaper and TV assets on a straight. Yeah. Like, who knows? Yeah. Could be all kinds of things. Yeah. You're right. Really good point. But still, given the state of information, the polarization, the fact that unquestionably you can visit different parts of the news ecosystem and get completely different stories and headlines on any given day, it is a fascinating and pretty big deal development for sure.
Yeah, totally.
I heard this story that made me lose my mind on NPR this morning. I heard it on my public radio station.
That's not true.
I'm streaming it on my smart device. I know. Yeah, look at that. You wouldn't even know we were frenemies.
I love NPR.
But we are. Yeah. So I really care about data. As you know, I have been fond of saying that you cannot measure what you cannot manage what you do not measure. There has been all kinds of question about data collection with respect to coronavirus and testing.
For sure.
And there's this story. It's sort of like it kind of slid under the radar earlier this month. The Trump administration basically told hospitals, don't send data about coronavirus cases and intensive care capacity, bed capacity, to the CDC anymore. Instead, send it to this new online system, which I'm pretty sure is run by Palantir. The if you got that's the one, right? That's run by Palantir, which is the Peter Thiel data collection company that's got a ton of military contracts. But apparently, despite being incredibly terrifying and collecting data at a massive scale, evidently doesn't make any money. However, the idea was new system. It will be transparent. It will be complete. It will be updated multiple times a day. It will actually have regular information and important, valuable, incredibly useful information for doctors, hospitals, and public health experts who need to know how many beds, how many ventilators, how much PPE is available in various parts of the country. It's going to be great. And instead, according to NPR, it is none of those things. It's updated, you know, they went from a couple times a day to once a day to once a week. The data currently, I think they said, as of today, had not been updated in over a week. It's got inconsistencies and errors. Apparently, lawmakers want to talk about it, you know, now. They've launched an investigation into the data change. And doctors and hospitals are saying, like, we can't do our jobs without this information.
If
we don't know that beds are full and we send patients there, people could die. They only got a few days notice before the change. And there was an editorial in USA Today from a couple days ago signed by doctors and nurses saying the CDC is, at least relatively speaking in these times, nonpartisan. And they need to be in charge of this data. Because if it's not accurate, again, let me restate, people could die. And it just is, I mean, I tweeted this earlier today, but it was like, if you went back in time and you were like, this crazy virus is going to happen, it's going to be like a once in a century pandemic. And not only will there not be a coherent federal response, you will be told on a daily basis, this is not really happening. And then on top of that, the data collection will be terrifyingly terrible, maybe on purpose. You'd be like, what? Who would do that?
Wouldn't you love to be around like in 100 years when they write the history books on this period? And
I really would. I really, 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 really would.
Man.
Yeah. Because, wow. So, yes, keep your eye on the data. Yeah. Like, at the end of the day, if we don't know what's really happening, if the information can't be trusted, that's a huge, huge, huge problem. It's a huge problem.
Yeah.
Data.
All righty.
My second thing.
Let us proceed. Mr. Ramirez.
All right, time to smile. Francis Ritter points out in the YouTube. There sounds like a Thursday episode.
That's right. Oh, I didn't put my thing in there. Oh, well.
Do you have a thing? It's not too late.
I do have a thing. It's the irony is dead moment of, well, frankly, only of today, because irony is dying all over the place. My favorite part politically of today was when Kayla McEnany, the press secretary to the president of the United States, chastised the Chinese for wanting to delay the election in Hong Kong.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Think about that for a minute. Yeah. I was like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, let's not even get into the whole, was he kidding, literally or seriously, whatever, but just, that's the challenge, right? That's the challenge. He does stuff, and then we don't have credibility when other people do stuff.
Yep.
That's the thing.
It definitely is. Yep.
Yes, that's my make me smile. Sitar's yelling at me in the Slack. That's my make me smile. I was like, come on, man.
I mean, also, give me a true break. Story, you guys. True what? Story. I directly before this taping, like with 4 minutes left, was like, does anyone have a candidate for this? And then I remembered I'd had a tab open for a few since yesterday. That is a bittersweet make me smile, but still, yeah. I think really, really worth noting. Mm-hmm. The actual story published online yesterday, Thursday, Oprah Winfrey gave up the cover of Oprah magazine for the first time ever. It's been around for years, and Oprah has been on every single one. Issue.
It's kind of amazing.
Every single one. And this might even be one of the last, because I think Oprah's going digital only. So this might be one of the last print episodes also. And she, oh my God, I'm such a baby. She gave up the cover to Breonna Taylor. And yes, you know what's happening over here.
Which is cool.
Yes, which is incredible. And the letter that she wrote about it,
oh, I didn't
to
read
say
that.
Why she did it is really like, it won't make you smile, but it will, I don't know, it will make you grateful that we have voices and we can use them. We all do, and we all can, and it's really powerful.
Yeah, I totally agree. I feel a need here to amend my original idea of make me smile, because originally it was supposed to be something that made us smile, literally gave us a little ha-ha at the end of the day. Number one, it's really hard to find those 5 days a week, people. It's really hard to find those things because there isn't a lot. But also, I would just like to amend it to say maybe it's just a moment that makes us go, huh, life isn't terrible.
Yeah.
How about that? Can we just do that?
There are good people doing good things.
All right.
There are good people doing good things. This is a good thing to be happening. And may it work. Like, good job, Oprah.
May it work. Yep.
If you want just a little smile, I can tell you that I was going from thing to thing to thing, and one of those things was a big Zoom meeting with like everybody that just may have happened about half an hour ago. And right before that meeting, in sheer desperation, I ran up to the bathroom to spray dry shampoo onto my greasy hair, and it turned out that it was actually mousse and not dry shampoo. And so I sprayed mousse all over the bathroom, and I had 11 minutes to get it done, and then I had to rinse out my hair in the bathroom sink and then blow dry it really quick.
Oh my God, why didn't you just put it in a pony and... Come on the YouTube. I don't know.
Because it was so breezy, right, you know, and there's this one and whatever, but my hair looks amazing.
Yes, it does.
Because I basically got a blowout right before the YouTubes. So there you go.
This weird like curly thing going on. All right.
Kai's
so look, there's a leaf
going
blower
on
out
vacation.
There somewhere, and I got to go. I know, right? All right. We are done. I am done for a week. Kimberly Adams is in next week, and then Kimberly Adams is here the week after that because Molly's away. So a lot of Kimberly time, which is cool because she's awesome. In the meanwhile,
also makes you smile.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. In the meanwhile, we're done. Back on Monday, for those of you who work on Monday, don't forget to sign up for our newsletters, marketplace.org/newsletters. And some people in this conversation will see you next week. Some won't. You guys try to figure out who it is. Okay, it's me.
We don't even
I'm
know.
Not going to see.
Oh, yeah, no, but I mean, we don't know who's about to read the
if
credits.
I showed up? I could call in. Oh, I know. I have a theory, though.
You could Zoom bomb.
Make Me Smart, which is this podcast, is produced and directed by Sam Anderson. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner. Ben Hethcote is our video producer, and our video intern is Ethan Peretz. Thanks to writer-producer Erica Phillips. Today's program was capably engineered by Daniel Ramirez. Our theme music was composed by Ben Holliday and Daniel Ramirez, again. The executive director of On Demand and the executive... F*** me. the executive director of On Demand and the senior producer this week, is Sitara Nieves. And finally, the senior vice president and general manager for the very last time is me, Deborah Clark. Signing off. Bye.